Hey mamas, I'm Alyssa, registered dietitian, picky eating specialist, and mama of two. You're listening to the Nutrition for Littles podcast, aimed at helping you raise healthy, independent eaters. Each week, we will tackle topics like picky eating, mealtime struggles, baby-led weaning, and so much more. Let's jump right into today's topic.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode is going to be a good one. I am answering a listener question. And if you are new around here, maybe you don't know this, but back in the day, I used to take very specific listener questions and turn them into podcast episodes. And I want to get back to that. And so I actually got a question written into my email this week, and I wanted to save it for the podcast because I think it was one that a lot of parents can relate to, especially parents of picky eaters. So Jeanette wrote in asking, what do I do when my kid, she said toddler actually, so when my toddler rejects their meal? I get so stressed out. I don't know what to do. And I'm feeling like all I want to do is force them to eat so that I know they are getting what they need. Okay, absolutely relate to this. Completely understand the desire behind this and the question here because it can feel really alarming to watch our kid not eat anything, reject meal after meal, or even just one off meal, right? So of course you're probably in multiple camps, whether you've gone through and experienced your kid rejecting multiple meals back to back, or you've experienced even just one meal rejection, or sometimes you have a kid who just skips a portion of their meal. They'll only eat the bread. They'll only eat the safe food. They'll only eat their favorite foods. They're not eating everything on their plate and it feels like a rejection. So essentially the question is, what do I do when my kid won't eat the food I want them to eat? So this is a really good question because, of course, this is the essence of picky eating. So there's 1,000 different ways we can go with this. But as you know, I'm probably going to bring it back to my root cause approach because I know that if we want the quickest way to solve picky eating is to understand what that root cause is. And if you haven't already, you absolutely have to take my free class where I dive more into these root causes. We're not able to get into them fully here in the podcast and explain them in full detail, but that's really where it all begins, is understanding why is your kid specifically rejecting foods? Because you could be watching two different kids. They're both rejecting foods, but they could be for totally different reasons. One kid might still be full from a really big breakfast that he ate, and another kid might not be eating because they're distracted by wanting to go play with their friends, right? Like, there's totally different reasons for why that picky eating behavior or that food rejection is happening. So we have to understand what's going on underneath, which is, you know, of course, even deeper reasons like sensory issues, texture preferences, their specific, you know, needs aren't being met. They're afraid of foods. They don't understand how to eat the foods, whatever it might be. So important to understand the why behind the behavior. And so, of course, what to do when our kid is rejecting foods is really subjective or could be very different depending on your kid's why. So of course, I don't want to get into that today specifically because I don't know Jeanette's reason for why her kid isn't eating. And I believe she has not taken my course or my program to understand that deeper level. So we're not able to dive into that right now. But what I do think we can do is kind of take a big step and say, okay, let's assume we don't know the root cause. We don't know what's going on. And you know, what are some of the steps that we can take to really help our child? So I want to actually start by talking about what I'm not going to do. What I'm not going to do if our kid rejects a meal, even if it's their fifth meal in a row they've rejected, or it's their first meal, or they're just rejecting part of it, what I'm not going to do is make them a special meal, something new, something separate. I'm not going to become a short order cook. So the reason why we don't want to become a short order cook, although I understand the desire of us wanting to feed our kids and get them to eat enough food, more calories, more intake, all those things, completely understandable why we want to do that. But what it ends up doing is it creates a culture in your home that if you put up enough of a stink, if you are upset, if you are uncomfortable, I will soothe you. I will go out of my way to make you a new meal, something that I know that you'll eat just so you're eating. And what that ends up doing is creating this culture of if you just complain enough, you'll get what you want, which is not what we want long term. It might fix the short term problem, like they're not going to go to bed hungry, or they're not going to feel cranky or moody or have like a big tantrum because they're hangry. But what it actually does is creates this belief in them that if I am upset enough, they'll make me something else. And then I can do that at any point in time. And even if that's not a problem tonight or tomorrow night, when we have the energy for it, when we have the bandwidth for it, when we have the food for it, when you have leftovers really easily available, when they have a large list of foods that they'll eat. What ends up happening is over time, they whittle down the foods that they'll eat, or they start to get like, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but they'll ask for something like one night, mac and cheese, let's say, is their favorite. And then the next time you want to make mac and cheese, you're like, oh, this is a favorite. All of a sudden, it's not a favorite anymore. The goalposts are always moving. So for us to keep up, it's like us keeping up with them instead of them keeping up with us, or working really ideally in tandem as a team. So this is really important not to set the standard that you're going to make them whatever it is that they want, when they want it, if they reject their meal. So that's step one, is really not responding in a reactive way. We are being proactive instead, and I'll kind of get into that. But the other thing that I'm not going to do if they're not eating is start to pressure them or force them or create any sort of dynamic where their love or their capability or their worth is at all tied to whether or not they eat this food, or like really in a deeper way of pressuring them to eat it. I'm not going to force them to eat it. I'm not going to sit here and beg them to eat it, bribe, pressure, demand, entice. Like, I'm not going to sneak. Like, I'm not going to do any of those things. I'm actually going to let them experience hunger. I'm going to let them experience what they're experiencing. I'm going to let them say what they want to say. I'm not going to have that volatile reaction that often comes out as rage, frustration, disappointment, worry, angst, you know, sadness, guilt. Any of those feelings aren't going to come through because they're rejecting a meal. The more that we emotionally respond to food, the more power they ultimately have. And what we do know about kids in this stage, age, and development of their brain is that this power dynamic, they're figuring it out. They're figuring out what they have power over, what they have control over, what it does to you, the if then of, if I do this, how does my parent respond? How are we going to navigate these problems? So it is really setting the tone of not pressuring them. And we also know that the more that we pressure our kids to eat by bribing, begging, pleading, guilting, demanding, the more picky they become. So we want to work with them instead of making them kind of honor or obey, right? Like, we're not forcing them to obey. We are working on a collective team approach to getting them the nutrition they want. Again, the desire is to raise healthy eaters who are eating of their own volition, not to please us. So in the moment, it might feel nice to get some, like, be pleased and let them eat their food and force them to eat their food so that we can kind of check it off our list and know for certain that they're getting what they need. But actually, in the long run, that's really setting us both up for failure, where now we're emotionally attached to how much they're eating. They're only eating to please us. They're not eating of their own volition. They grow up. They make their own choices. They feel at a loss. There's all sorts of stuff that we're not setting them up for success. And we're not setting ourselves up for success either, because we're having, you know, potentially very volatile emotional reactions. Some days are better than others. We get worried and fear takes over. Then we start pressuring them, which we know makes picky eating worse. So those are kind of the things I'm not going to do when my kid rejects a meal. What I am going to do is be, I like to talk about a lot that we don't want to be catering to them, right? That's that, like, short order cook, whatever it is you want, your favorite foods, whatever you want. If you don't like it, I'll make you something else. You know, I'm not going to cater to them, but I am going to be considerate. So part of this is more the proactive stance. It's before the meal happens, before the rejection. I want to be proactive the best that I can to set them up for success. So what does that mean? That means offering at least one safe food. That's a food that we know reliably they've eaten in the past, able and ready for them to enjoy, to fill up their bellies, to at least, at the very least, eat that food. So hypothetically, we're making chicken meatballs with a side of green beans, and maybe we do mashed potatoes or something like that. Well, we know mashed potatoes is a safe food, even if all the other dishes or foods are things that they would never eat, are, you know, aren't sure about, or, you know, whatever, have an issue like rejecting. At least, at the very least, we're giving them an opportunity to eat a food that they have reliably eaten in the past. Does that mean they'll eat it? No, but we're setting them up for success. We want to at least offer that safe food. So really, really important here to kind of be this proactive stance where we're not catering to them, but we are being considerate. We're considering their perspective. We're considering where they're at on their journey of picky eating, or rather reversing picky eating, so that we can actually help them take the steps necessary to fuel themselves, fill their belly, understand what hunger feels like, what fullness feels like, how to eat different foods, how to experience those different foods, and how they feel when they do fill their belly. So really, really important there to take that proactive stance. The other thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to let them reject the meal. I'm going to let them reject the food. I'm going to let them experience that experience. And I'm not going to go into that pressure mode, that fear mode, that worry mode, that demand mode, that, you know, kind of force mode, right? I'm going to let them reject the food. And then I'm going to recognize that it is not about one meal, about one serving, about one food. It's really about zooming out and seeing it as a whole. What have they ate today? What have they ate this week? What are they eating this month? What are they into? What are they excited about? How can I work with them as a team to get them to eat more food? Maybe at that next meal, maybe at that next snack, I'm adjusting things as I go. I'm putting different foods on their plate. If I didn't offer a safe food like I should have, I'm adding a safe food, right? We want to be intentional. We want to be considerate, but we're not going to cater to them. So that's really, really important. Some real tactical tips that you can do if you notice that your kid is not interacting with the food. A lot of times the reasons, of course, there's so many, like we talked about those root causes for picky eating and rejecting meals, but sometimes it's as easy as they're distracted. How can you limit the distractions? How can you pick up the toys before a meal? If you, even if they come to the dinner table and they're not willing to stay there because they're so distracted, you can take a 5-minute break and say, hey, we're going to go do a quick cleanup and we're going to come back and eat dinner, right? So like, how can we clean up so that we're not distracted? How can we go eat outside if they're distracted? Can we dim the light so that they're not distracted? Whatever that is to bring the distraction level down of other things or get their investment level in the meal up. So that's having it be more fun, like making a picnic, using really unique utensils, using their favorite cups and bowls. You know, how can you get them to engage in the food even at the simplest level? The other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to model how I want them to eat it. So I'm going to sit down. I'm going to actually eat the chicken meatballs alongside them. I'm going to cut it up. I'm going to make it fun. I'm going to dip it. I'm going to make jokes about it. I'm going to talk about the food, or I'm going to connect with them and not talk about the food at all and actually let them have that experience of choosing to reject it. The other thing I'm going to do is if they reject a food or a meal or whatever it might be, I am going to package up that food and use it in a later date. Now, what I love to do is at least put a day between what I call leftovers, right? When you're bringing in those leftovers, essentially you're taking the food that they decided not to eat and you are either bringing it over a day away. So you have like a complete day of eating in between and serving that food. I don't typically recommend if you didn't eat it for lunch, you get it for snack. And if you don't eat it for snack, you get it for dinner. And you don't get new food until you eat this food. I know that's like a common practice among some families. But what I do recommend is serving leftovers. I think they can be our greatest advocate for introducing these foods to our kids over and over and over again with less work on us. But the way that I recommend doing it is having at least a day of eating in between when they see it again. And if you can, change up the food to make it slightly different. You take those chicken meatballs, you put them on a skewer, and now they're skewered, right? You serve them not with mashed potatoes, you serve them over noodles. You chop them up and dice them up and put them, you know, mixed in with the sauce or whatever it might be. So you're presenting it in a new way. A great one for meatballs specifically is sandwiches. You can do literally meatball sandwiches, which are really fun for kids oftentimes. Presenting it in a new way gives them a new opportunity, a new experience with this food to make it more enjoyable or more appeasing. So those are some of the things to get started with when your kid is rejecting foods. But I think it's really important to understand, A, there's a root cause. There's a root cause of why they're rejecting that food. Sometimes it's simple. Sometimes it's more complex. Sometimes it's chronic. Sometimes it's acute. So sometimes it's just happening this one time and it's not really that big a deal. Sometimes we notice that this is a pattern and we need to start taking some more action. We talked about what we're not going to do when they reject a meal and then some ideas to actually get them to engage and eat the food. So I hope this episode was really helpful. I hope, Jeanette, that this answered your question of how to approach a rejection of a meal. And I really encourage you, if you have not already, go to my free training and learn more about these root causes because they truly are the key to unlocking your child's cause behind rejecting a meal. I think that's super important. So I hope this episode was helpful for you and I will catch you next week with a brand new one.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you're walking away with some tangible ways to bring peace to your mealtimes. And if you like this episode, please subscribe and tell all your mom friends. And as always, the best compliment you can give me is leaving a rating and written review, which also helps other mamas like you find this podcast too. You can find more from me on Instagram at Nutrition for Littles. Do you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast? Email me at Alyssa@nutritionforlittles.com. All right, until next time, mamas.